Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, happy Monday to you. Welcome to another edition of The Cave Show. This is PLR. And as usual, we are brought to you by the one, the only, the girl's fine cigar and tobacco. We have a lot of show to get into today. We got to wrap up the playoffs this weekend. Wild card round. One day both road teams won, next day both home teams won. Who wins tonight? Everyone says Alabama, but are we sure? Are we that ready to give Alabama the national title? LeVar Ball speaketh, and the NBA wants to taketh awayeth. What are we going to do with LeVar Ball? We'll talk about that. I don't know if I necessarily agree with censorship. Once you start censoring the press, that's never a good thing. Like I said, welcome. Happy Monday. Welcome to The Cave Show. This is PLR. Like I said, we're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located locally in Chandler, Arizona, right off of Alma School and Chandler Heights. 4991 is the exact address. Get in there for the best selection of sticks in the valley. Let them know the PLR sent you from The Cave Show. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. You also can become a club member. Get your locker that backs up to a humidor. You get a nice little nameplate on the front. Everyone knows Ashores. Better yet, you know Ashores. Stick your sticks in there and never have to worry about them going bad. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located in Chandler, Arizona, right on Alma School and Chandler Heights, 4991 Alma School, to be exact. Let them know PLR sent you and get 10% off. Well, we got a lot of show to get into. We never have a whole lot of time because that's the way it goes. Because if we had all the time in the world, then we'd just have one big long show and we'd have nothing to talk about tomorrow. Our call-in number never changes, 917-889-7828. Give a call in. Let me know what's on your mind. We do have a caller patiently waiting. Thank you for holding on. Caller, you're in the cave with PLR. Who do I have online?
All right. Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou once again.
Hey, my buddy Lou. How are you, sir?
All right. I was about to ask you, who do you think for tonight's game? I mean, it should be a good one, though.
Well, everyone says Alabama, and a lot of, you know, the wise guys picked Alabama, and they pick them by three. And that's at a neutral field. And so you figure, that if Alabama was at home for this game, they'd be, you know, favored by six or nine. I can give you 1,000 reasons why I think Alabama could lose this game. I don't think Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback. I don't think he hits his wide receivers on time. I think he only has one really good wide receiver, and the rest of them are okay. I think they're one-dimensional. We know they're going to run the ball. I think that plays in the Georgia Bulldogs' favor. I think that the Georgia Bulldogs have two really good running backs that can carve you up easily, an accurate freshman quarterback. They're playing in the state of Georgia. They should be the louder team. Technically, you could argue this is a home game. And with all that said, I'm picking Alabama to win a lot easier than other people. So I gave you every reason why they should lose, and I still think they're going to win. It's not even just Alabama. At this point, the only way for Alabama, and I really do mean this, I think the only way Alabama doesn't win a national title is if somehow they get left out of the playoff run. Otherwise, I'm not betting against Nick Saban.
Neither am I. That'd be a sin right there.
Yeah, Lou, if they didn't get in and say Ohio State got in, then I can guarantee you Alabama's not winning a national title.
Right.
But if they're in, I know they lost last year, and I know that it came down to the wire the year before. But bet against Nick Saban, it's like betting against Belichick.
No.
It's like betting against your best coach. I just won't do it, especially in a one-game play.
No, you
I'm
shouldn't.
Not going to do it. So, yeah, I'm with you. Here's what I'm going to differ. I think it's going to be a higher-scoring game than people think. I don't think it's going to be this 13-10 thing. I'm saying somewhere in the range of 31-20, 31-23 in that ballpark. What about you?
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I think that Bama's offense will prevail.
Yeah. Yeah. I also look for something big on defense. I mean, we can't forget Jake Fromm is still a freshman quarterback. This is the biggest stage, the biggest lights. Yeah, we do try. He's been very impressive. But pocket quarterbacks in Alabama, defense, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a pick six game. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm going
okay.
Alabama all the way.
All right. Go on.
Let me ask you this question. Pro football, I know you watched the playoffs this weekend. What team impressed you the most?
Well, let's just say I went 2-for-4 because, you know, I didn't get all the all the favorites to win. But, you know, the Saints, you know, impressive. But I'm still thinking it's going to be the Saints and the Patriots to win it, though. I don't think there's a Carolina got to win with murder.
You know what? If I'm Cam Newton, I'm not even letting my receivers on the plane ride back home. He was putting the ball. I mean, he couldn't. The pass in the end zone in the first quarter where they had the ball for 7 minutes, and I can see the kid's number 12, but I can't think of his name right now. He dropped the pass, and then the field goal kicker missed the field goal. And in all honesty, that really changed the whole complex of the game at the end. But he couldn't have done anything better then walk up to the guy and hand him the ball for him to catch the ball. And I think, you know, I think it's a shame because that's – and then he missed a field goal. Now at the end of the game, think about it. That Carolina defense held. You're now driving to kick a field goal. You're not driving to get 6 points. It's a big difference. So, but the team I was most impressed with, believe it or not, Atlanta.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. I didn't expect them to win.
No. No, neither did I. They've been mediocre at best, and they've won games they shouldn't have won, and they got away with things they shouldn't have got away with.
Yes.
But at this game, that defense showed up. And even though Todd Gurley did rush for over 100 yards on 14, 15 carries, and which makes you wonder why L.A. didn't give him the ball even more, I'm impressed with what Atlanta did, and they are favored by 3 in Philadelphia. And, Lou, you know what that means. If they're favored by 3 in Philly, they would be favored by 6 at a neutral site, and they would be favored by 9 at home. Why is no one respecting the Philadelphia defense and Nick Foles to the point that this is the first time in betting history that a number one seed has been a dog at home to a number 6 seed?
Well,
is Philadelphia that much trouble?
Yeah, I think, I mean, because the confidence level went down, you know, once Fultz came in to take over for Wentz, and, you know, it turned a lot of bettors off, too. They were favored, I think, 2-1 back in October. Now they're 20-1. I was thinking even lower. So I think they're fearing what Fultz is going to do.
Kansas City and Tennessee may not have – exactly. Kansas City and Cincinnati wasn't a good game on paper. But I never want to confuse good game and exciting game, but it was an exciting game, and it was probably the most exciting game with the Saints-Panthers game coming in second all weekend. Mariota found a receiver that he can – rely on, and that was himself. So we did have the Mariota touchdown. Does Tennessee have a shot?
No,
in New England?
No, I don't think so. Tennessee doesn't have a shot. They did get they did get this one game, but I think their luck is going to run out.
We will definitely see. Have we seen the last of Andy Reid in Kansas City, or have we seen the last of Alex Smith in Kansas City?
I think after what happened in Saturday's game, I think we have seen the last of him in a Chiefs uniform.
Yeah, Alex Smith, a lot of people are saying that they won't move him, but I think they will. I don't know if Alex Smith at this stage of his career where he can still play a little bit is ready to go and be a backup at Kansas City to Mahomes. Now, there are places that would love to have Alex Smith. I mean, I think he would be welcome in Buffalo. I think he'd be welcome here. He could be a stopgap for the Giants until they get through the Eli Manning deal, which the loyalty to Eli Manning is blinding because of those Super Bowls. But we'll see. We shall see. It's going to be quite interesting.
Yes, it would be. But, you know, how do you keep a, you know, a 21.3 lead and then you blow it? Oof.
At home.
That makes it even worse.
To Tennessee. So, we'll find out. Hey, it could be a lot worse. It could be Blake Bortles. You win in spite of him. So.
Blake Bortles.
So, we got more cleanup to do with this week before we talk about next week. We got a game tomorrow that we'll have to analyze. And, my friend, I sure hope you have a couple minutes to give us a call tomorrow and give us your thoughts.
I will.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
Thanks. That's our friend Lou. Gives us a call every day. Great to talk to Lou about sports. Blake Bortles is terrible. I know I just kind of shot that out there, but Blake Bortles is terrible. The NFL has like these 6 or 7 quarterbacks that are just really good, exceptionally good. You know, the Bradys, the Breeze, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers. These guys are just the best of the best. And then you get that next tier that you know you can win Super Bowls with. And even if they haven't done it, you know that what I'm talking about. You know, that's where the Cam Newtons fall. And Eli, if everything goes absolutely perfect and you get a couple miracle catches and all that falls in place. And then you have the stat guys. And I'll put Matt Ryan in that. I'll put Matt Ryan in that with the Cam Newtons. And then you have the stat guys, you know, the Staffords and those guys who put up great numbers, but for whatever reason, and we blame everyone else. But, yeah, then you get that set of guys. And then you have your managers, you know, Alex Smith, Tyrod Taylor, those guys, the managers. And I'm going to put Carson Wentz in with that next level of guys that if he stays healthy and gets right from what you've seen with Philly, he's a young guy that can get you there. And then you get your up-and-comer quarterbacks. And then you just have your bad quarterbacks. And that's where the Tom Savages and the Blake Bortles and those guys fall. And Blake Bortles is the worst of the worst of those guys. He's just bad. And Jacksonville is winning not because of Blake Bortles. They're winning in spite of Blake Bortles. So I don't know. He's bad, man. He's bad. If you could pick 40 quarterbacks in the NFL, would Blake Bortles be one of the top 40? If you said, you know what, there are retired guys or guys out of the league that I would take over Blake Bortles. I would take Blaine Gabbert over Blake Bortles, and I think he's the second worst quarterback in the NFL. Well, which makes sense about taking one because Blake Bortles is the worst quarterback in the NFL. And Blaine is trying to take that mantle from him, but he's not guiding a playoff team, so you got to give him a little slack. There's some bad quarterbacks, and he's the worst of the worst. I swear at a point I was watching that game, the Jacksonville game, And I swear to God, the opposing team's defense had 15 guys in the box. I promise you they did. There were 15 guys in the box against Leonard Fournette. No, really. That's how bad he is. No one respected his ability at all. There are 15 guys in a box. And I don't care if there's only 11 players that are supposed to be on the field. How can you be that bad? It almost tells you how good Leonard Fournette is. Remember at the start of the year, the Kansas City head coach literally said, in a perfect world, we would pass the ball one time. Well, because he knows Blake Bortles is his quarterback. Other team in the playoffs, any other team in the playoffs, would it be Jacksonville? And that's taking nothing away from that defense. What worries me about the Bills is they seemed happy to be there. We got a lot to talk about this week when it comes to football and playoffs. And like I said, we're going to spend a couple days cleaning up this round before we really get into dissecting the divisional play. That's hard to say anything. The divisional play this week and see what happens. I do want to talk a little bit of basketball before we get out of here today. And you know who I want to talk about. So don't pretend like you're surprised. I want to talk about the one only big baller. Big baller brand. I'm going to talk about it, too, throughout the week because I have different guests coming on. You know I'm going to ask the one and only Suns apologist, the biggest Suns apologist, Kyle Fleeger, about that later this week. He's absolutely giddy. The Suns beat Oklahoma City and played what has been the best basketball game all year. So I'm getting tweets from Fleeg. He's all inside of himself, happy. Fleegs is happy. Biggest Suns apologist. So what makes it even more so for him is that Dragan Bender. I think Dragan Bender's still young. I don't think he's young enough to be Fleeg's love child. I don't think he's young enough for that, but I think he's like an adopted child or a big brothers from Boys and Girls Club. He's something to Fleeg because Fleeg freaks out every time. Dragan Bender had some great games, so he freaked out like at least 2-3 times this year. But your boy LeVar Ball came out, short story, said the Lakers have quit on Luke Walton. No one wants to play for him. They're done. They quit on him. Now, I got a question for you. Is this him saying that, or is this his son saying that? Because there's an angle no one's thinking about. And let's be honest about it. Every time LeVar Ball says something outlandish, and I hate to say it's stupid, but every time he says anything, we forgive the son. Right? No matter what he does, we say, Lonzo Ball is, wow, it's a shame what he has to play through. It's a shame what he has to go through. But, you know, he's such a great kid. How do we know deep down that Lonzo isn't really saying to his dad, no one really wants to play for Luke? And I'm not saying he did. But why do we always just assume LeVar Ball was the person that's saying it? And I know he said a lot of crazy things. He could be Jordan one-on-one, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But the one thing I don't want to do, and I know Rick Carlisle, the president of the Coaches Association, came out and they talking about sanctions against reporters that quote LeVar Ball and this and that. Folks, I don't want to see the media stifled. Coach Rick Carlisle, who coaches Dallas, said, as president of the Coaches Association, I view the recent ESPN article as a disgrace, quite honestly. Luke Walton is terrific. Let me rephrase that. Luke Walton is a terrific young coach who is bringing along a young team, and it's a difficult task. If you don't believe, just ask me. We're going through that now and went through that last year. All this comes because LeVar said that guys don't want to play for Luke. They're quitting on him. They don't want to play for him. And the story on ESPN, Carlisle went on to say, in exchange for that, they should back up the coaches. And when he say they, he means the journalists. Printing an article where the father of an NBA player has an opinion that is printed as anything like legitimate erodes trust. It erodes the trust that we've built with ESPN. Our coaches are upset because Luke Walton does not deserve that. Well, what does he deserve? He's a coach. It's an opinion. Is it a right opinion? Maybe, maybe not. Is it a wrong opinion? Maybe, maybe not. But it's his opinion. Sports writers give opinions every day. People on the four-letter give opinions every day. People on Fox give opinions every day. People on independent networks give opinions every day. And it gets printed every day. If this story, if I interviewed LeVar Ball and he told me that, does that mean my show isn't credible because I took his opinion? Now, I'm not a LeVar Ball backer. I have friends in the media that are LeVar Ball backers. I don't. I think he needs to shut up. I think he's not doing his son any favors. I don't think he's doing anybody any favors because the more he talks, the more he makes no sense. But you can't just say a reporter that gets a quote from him to say, well, my loyalty is to this coach, so I'm not going to print it. I don't think that's fair. What happens to coaches when they don't want to talk to media? Should we say, oh, coach, no, we understand, it's a bad day, don't worry about it. Well, coaches get upset with questions. Look, Pop is an incredible coach, but Pop will chastise a reporter. He'll make a new reporter feel stupid if they ask a question that he doesn't feel is intellectual enough for him to answer. So you have to stop and think what you're doing and what you're saying. You know, Carlisle, when asked by the four-letter if he should find out, you know, what should happen with some of the coaches and what should they do when there are things published that he doesn't like, he said, I'm saying that they should look at their source and do a better job of determining whether they have any merit or any validity, or are they just blowhard loudmouths. That's what I'm saying. You got that one. Who is it for the media to determine that? So the media should then stop and say, this guy's a troll, don't print him. This guy isn't a troll, print it. Troll, no, yes, troll, no, troll. Not their job. We can say all we want about what's happening, but let's be honest about this. Journalists have two jobs. Newspapers have two jobs. Television shows have two jobs. One job is to get you the truth, the absolute bottom truth of what's going on. But the other one is ratings. ESPN has a job, and believe me, I'm not sticking up for them, but they have a job to do to their stockholders and their board members. And people say, well, if you don't want to hear LeVar Ball, don't stick a microphone in front of his mouth. But if he is going to give you print, what if we find out that that's true? What if we find out that players don't want to play for Luke Walton? What if we find out that there is a mutiny brewing? Is LeVar Ball a blowhard then? Is he a troll then? You know, I remember a long time ago, Jose Canseco was spilling the beans on steroid use in Major League Baseball, and everyone told him to go away, shut up, because he was an idiot and he was a cheater and he didn't know what he was talking about. And what happened? He was 100% right. Well, we'll get into this more this week. Without a doubt. Some good guests coming up. I'll make sure I get that on the social media to give you guys a heads up for what's happening this week. All calls call in courtesy of the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Make sure you follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, fan page, at The Sports Cave. And you can also get us at thesportscave.com. Cave's always with the K in everything. You get me directly if you're on sports on Twitter. Until tomorrow, we talk about national championship game tonight. A little bit more basketball, a little bit more of our ball. We're going to ask Frank this week what their thoughts are. Until then, thank you for listening to the Cave Show. This is PLR. We'll have a great Monday. From that mountain peak up high, hey, I made it. I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope. When my back's against the ropes, I can feel it. I'm the world's greatest.